Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. On this last Sunday before Holy Week, we arrive at the last of Jesus' signs in John's Gospel. We are in John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus. And in this long account, we find the shortest sentence in all of Scripture. And we find what is a most beautiful verse. John 11:3 is the beautiful verse. Master, the one you love is ill. Notice what is not said. Jesus, Lazarus is ill. There's something so beautiful about this line. Master, the one you love is ill. It's not only beautiful, but it's so freeing. Jesus knew right away who they were speaking about. And I wonder to myself often, if in the long list of names and intentions of circumstances and people to pray for, and I do have a long list, I wonder if, and certainly I hope, that it all can be summarized with this verse. Master, the one you love is ill. I pray that that's true because that's how I pray for all of you. All of our parishioners, all the names and circumstances. Master, the one you love is ill. And you know what? I even pray that for myself. Because there is sickness in me that I haven't yet even realized. But God does. And to pray that prayer, Master, the one you love is ill. It yields such a beautiful response. The shortest line of all Scripture is John 11:35. And Jesus wept. In these two verses, we see a most beautiful and powerful reflection of God. And in these late Lenten days, it gives us something to think about. Three brief points. Number one, the humanity of Jesus. Jesus wept and he loved. And these two realities go together. Often when we cry, we do so because there's something, there's someone that we love. We grieve and we weep deeply. And this is a most human act. It's an important act. It's an expression of love. And you and I, who are human, we are called to be human and to be that perfectly well. And it involves grieving and weeping. It involves our love. There's also here a great vulnerability that we find. We cry, we weep when we're in pain. Certainly Jesus did. When I imagine him being crowned with thorns or being nailed to that cross, I don't envision a stoic Jesus. I'm sure that that hurt. I'm sure that he winced and he cried in pain. And not only in physical ways, but when we hear that he wept for Lazarus, imagine what that looked like. Tears are the voice box of deep emotion, the voice box of what lies in our depths. And again, it is a most human act to cry. In our own days, I don't know how many years ago, but they invented emojis. Because in text messaging, which we use so often, it just does not communicate emotion. And so they invented the smiling face. They invented the thumbs up as a sign that communicates something more. But my friends, Jesus Christ doesn't save us via emojis, but rather through his real love, his vulnerable love. He wept over Lazarus, he wept over Jerusalem, and Jesus continues to be moved even to sorrow for us and all the injustices of our world. Several years before his wife Joy passed away, the great convert to the faith, C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book about the four loves. And in that book, he not only philosophized about love, but he highlighted the importance of choosing love. And in writing about love, he said the following, and I quote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or the coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, your heart will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable." My friends, Jesus loved. He wept. Fully human, fully God. And if we are going to be redeemed, we need a vulnerable, a loving heart. That love of God, point number two, has great power, and we certainly see it in John 11. The very love of God is able to invoke a dead man out of his tomb, and he walks out. And the words that he speaks, "Come out, untie him, let him go," they are words that continue to have power, continue to give mission to us. The last words of this and every Mass, "Go forth." And my friends, you and I are missioned in love to untie others, to help others, and to let them go. But so often the resentment, the unforgiveness, the hurt that wraps our hearts is woven so tight. The love of God, the power of God, calling us to come out, to untie, and to let go. My friends, this is the power of love. Finally, the patience of love, the patience of Jesus. Notice that when he hears that the one he loves is ill, he doesn't run, nor does he hide. He had reason to hide. Rather, he moves forward step by step, moving toward Jerusalem, moving toward Bethany, collecting faith, the faith of Martha, the faith of Mary, the faith of the crowds. And he does arrive, and he works his great sign. My friends, as we get ready to arrive to Holy Week, we are called to continue to move forward in and with Jesus Christ, to encounter his love, to be encountered by love, which has power to save. Whatever your Lent has looked like up to this point, so be it. But in this last full week, be sure to encounter and to be encountered by God's love, to untie, to let go of all that is not of God, so as to be ready to receive what is God, the hope, the promise of his love. May God be with you today.